across the UK, across continental North America, and around the world on the internet by webcast and by podcast. My name is Howard Hughes, and this is The Unexplained. Well, I hope you're bearing up and keeping well in the midst of this crisis that the world faces. I think the experts are still trying to estimate how long those of us who are in lockdown or virtual lockdown will continue to be so. I'm hoping, you know, that we get our release papers soon, but equally, I want the world to be restored to health. And my thoughts go out to you. If whatever part of the world you're in, you've been touched by coronavirus, many people have, an increasing number. So, you know, I hope that you're safe. I hope that you're well. And I hope that you're surrounded by people who can help if you have been touched by this thing. You know, here in the United Kingdom, the National Health Service, which is one of the jewels in our crown here in this nation, the people in the National Health Service and those who've been redrafted into it are doing an astonishing job right now, working to save people, working to, you know, make people okay through this, working to advise people, those who think that they may have this thing or have had this thing. The situation is constantly changing. It'll be probably a few days between when I record these words and when you hear them. So I'm not going to say anything that may be rendered out of date quickly. But all I can say is that I wish you the very best. And you're in my thoughts as I've sat here in the silence. And, you know, I've been doing some work from home, as you may well have been hearing. I've been doing my radio show from home. I've, like a lot of people, had to learn a lot of things. I never thought that I could do live broadcasting from home. You know, I spoke with Art Bell. Art Bell wanted me, just before his final retirement, he wanted to do one show with two shows, one either side. One before him, one after him. He wanted me to do the one before him. And for various reasons, I just didn't think that technically I would be able to put that on, or financially, because, you know, well, yeah, we won't talk money, but I thought it just wasn't possible. And I've proved to myself, and sadly Art's not here to see it, that it would have been possible. But, you know, who knows what the future may bring. We are indeed living in the most interesting of times. The guest on this edition of the program is Paul Hellyer. I know a lot of you want to hear what he has to say. You may find it controversial. You'll certainly find it interesting. And Paul is well into his 90s now. He is an astonishing example. If you've never heard of Paul Hellyer, he is the former Defense Minister of Canada, fine nation. And he is the man who came out as the former Defense Minister of Canada and said that actually, you hear about ETs and aliens, it's all real. Big thing to say. And I remember when he made headlines around the world in 2005, I think it was. I put him on my Talk Sport radio show in the UK. I remember we arranged a particular time of day before I had equipment at home to do these things. And I had to go into London and speak with him. And I remember diligently preparing a whole sheaf of questions to ask Paul Hellyer back then. That was quite an interview. And, you know, it was, as this one is going to be, controversial. So the views you're about to hear are those of Paul Hellyer. And I would be interested to hear from you what you think about what he has to say. You know, the world is preoccupied now, and maybe it's giving a lot of us time to think about so many things. I've sat here, and I've done my share of thinking about the way that I've lived my life, the people that I've allowed to treat me badly over the years, and those people who've treated me well over the years. And sometimes, not very much, I hope, you know, I'm not too guilty of this, but maybe we all are. I haven't been as grateful as I should have been for people who did good things. And maybe I haven't let the people who did bad things to me know quite how I felt about that. So on that personal level for me, those things are going to change. But a lot more is going to change, and maybe that goes for all of us, you know. If I see out this crisis, then I want to do things differently. And I want to, you know, live it as Sinatra sang, my way. Sorry, that we didn't have to go down that tangent. Now, if you want to make communication with me, if you want to suggest a guest or whatever, then please go to my website, designed by Adam from Creative Hotspot. He's the guy who designed the website, gets the show out to you. Follow the link there. There's a communication link, and send me an email. If you could make a donation for the show, that would be terrific. And if you can't, and a lot of you tell me that you can't, and I understand exactly why, then please, if you can, and you feel that you want to, please review this show on iTunes or wherever you want to. That would be very, very useful to me in these days. So my website is theunexplained.tv. It's the one-stop shop for this show. Okay, controversial comments, I'm sure, coming. Paul Hellyer, past guest on this show. I think he's been on the show 5 times now over the years. So let's get to Canada now and speak with Paul Hellyer. Paul, thank you very much for returning to my show.
It's a pleasure.
These are interesting circumstances under which we speak, Paul. How are things with you?
They are fine, thank you. The usual problems of being confined to barracks, as it were. But apart from that, good health and a lot to be thankful for.
You're in Toronto, aren't you? How are the authorities locally in Toronto handling the coronavirus crisis?
Well, I would say probably as well as they know how. You can always nitpick and say things could be done better, but it's easier to say that in hindsight than it is in foresight. And so I think they're doing the best they can with in the circumstances that exist at this moment.
And they are extraordinary circumstances. I'd like a little later in our conversation to speak about those. There are many things that I'd like to speak with you about. And of course, the starting point, if that's okay, although our conversation, and I know you would want it to be, is going to be much more wide ranging than that. I want to talk about the aliens and the UFOs, if I may. And simply for the reason that we spoke last a year ago, and things have moved on at a pace, don't you think, in this last year? There have been a lot of developments and a lot of people speaking. What do you make of it all?
They have. There have been a lot of developments, but what I would like to speak about today are the 4 areas of our self-destruction as a species.
Okay, that's fine. If you wouldn't mind just giving me a couple of minutes just to answer a couple of questions that people would like me to ask you. I mean, I promise you it's not going to take more than 5 minutes of this conversation, if that's all.
Well, I hope not, because there are more important things to talk about at the moment.
I understand. And I understand that those things, in fact, I've been going through your back catalogue of recent books, and I know that those things, as they should be for a lot of people, for most people, for everybody, you know, are of great concern. I just wanted to get your thoughts on the revelations and the material that's been coming about the USS Nimitz, the Tic Tac UFOs, the people who claim to have seen things recently. Compared with when you started investigating all of this and being involved in all of this, which is more than 50 years ago, how do you think things are looking now? What do we know more, really?
Well, first of all, I've only been involved for 15 years in this area of study and research. I think what has happened is that the U.S. government has decided that the subject is now so well known that they can no longer deny its existence. And consequently, they have been recently putting out a little information and making it look like news when some of it was, 40 years old. And I don't want to be a cynic, but I think the reason for that is, as always, that the United States Armed Forces are looking for more money, especially for Space Command. So they now have to admit, they've never admitted publicly until very recently, that UFOs exist, even though they've been aware of it for more than 70 years and have been working with extraterrestrials in the duplication of much of the technology involved in UFOs, both the flight technology and the weaponry technology. So despite all of this knowledge for so long, and having spent trillions of dollars, heaven only knows where it came from, they have never acknowledged directly what a lot of people know to exist and should have been public, I think, 30 or 40 years ago, but at least 20 years ago, and is now finally coming out. And I think there will be a lot more probably between now and the middle of this year. So things are coming along, and I just think they've got their finger in the dike, but know that the dam's going to break fairly soon, and that they might just as well get out of the way so they won't get swept down the river and into the ocean.
Mm. You say that you think that more will come out later this year. Is that because you've been advised of such, or is that because you just feel it?
It's an instinct more than anything. I'm pretty sure that there will be more information in the next 2 or 3 months than there probably have been in the last quite a few years, and that a lot more people will be on board with what I call the broader reality. In other words, they'll accept the country and this, our environment, spatial environment, as being a fact instead of just some science fiction.
We're having problems coping with coronavirus. We've got months and months of this to go, and who knows what twists and turns this drama, this crisis is going to take. How are we going to handle, if you say all of this is coming out, Paul, just as you know more about world affairs than I will ever know, how will we handle that as well?
Well, that's the last thing on my agenda here to speak about this afternoon, if we can get to it.
No, that's absolutely fine. I just wanted to just get your thought about that, because if this stuff does come out, then it's a big thing to handle, unless, of course, some kind of agenda is already being followed.
Well, let's get on with the list here, and then we'll talk about the coronavirus and where it originated and so on at the... maybe around minute 20, something like that.
Okay, all right then. So you think that it is something that we will be able to deal with because it's inevitable. Let's just leave it at that point, yes?
Right.
Okay. Now, you are much concerned, and our last conversation was just a little over a year ago, about the state of the world and what is becoming of it. Have you had any further thoughts in this last year about where we're at?
Yes, because things change so fast, I can't keep up with them. I don't know if anybody can or not, but new information coming in, I wouldn't say daily, but every few days on various things. And I have to adjust my ideas and my font of knowledge accordingly, and try and react to the new situation as I see it unfold. And that's what I am trying to do, because these things all fit together. Sort of a question of man's inhumanity to man or woman, but the men are the worst warriors and troublemakers, and they're the responsible for all four of the areas of what I call self-destruction of our species. And of course, overheating of our planetary home is one of them. I don't think I don't know anybody who really understands how serious it is. It's very, very serious. And the oceans are getting warmer, especially the Antarctic area, and this affects the early stages of the food chain, the small fish in the water, and goes all the way up. And then this is happening in the north too, and as well as on the land, as the temperature of the air rises, and we have more land that is no longer fit for raising food, and all of these things are happening, but we're not doing anything about it.
I wonder, is that because of the controversy about it? Look, if ever I mention climate change, global warming, all of those things, I will inevitably get a number of emails from people telling me that the whole thing is a con.
Yeah, I get the same, especially from the United States, where they spend millions and millions of dollars a year in what the president would call false information, in order to confuse the public and to say that this is cyclical, that it'll all go away, and so on. And it is, to put it bluntly, baloney.
Why would they want to lie about it?
Because they're greedy and want to run the world their way, and there are technologies available to save the planet and to restore it, to heal it, I think is the best word. In particular, availability of methods to replace oil quickly and to actually stop the global warming before it's too late.
You've been saying for a very long time, Paul, that technology exists to be able to, as you put it, heal the planet. How do you know that?
Because I know a lot of people in the business. I talked to somebody about 2 weeks ago, and I can't mention his name, but I asked him bluntly if he had access to workable models. And he said, yes, two. And I know of others that have been created over the years by various people. And as soon as they get them running, some people in black shirts come in and trash their laboratories and tell them not to try doing that again.
That sounds very much like what happened to the papers of Nikola Tesla after his demise, you know, the way that they were disappeared. You say that that kind of thing is going on now.
Absolutely. And Tesla was ahead of the game. The CIA went in and stole all of his papers so that they wouldn't get into public hands. And the oil cartel is still hanging on to the information and trying to keep it out of public hands because they want to cash in their trillions of dollars in oil resources and don't give a damn about the future of the planet or the people living on it. That's, to put it bluntly, is what is happening. And so we have to go through this brick wall of misinformation and try and get the truth out there, because our future as a species actually depends on it. It's as simple as that.
How long do you think we've got?
Well, we have to move fast. The book I wrote 10 years ago, I said we had 10 years. Obviously, we have done virtually nothing in those 10 years. But what we have to do is to take the same kind of approach that is being taken today, and as a matter of fact, in small doses, that the President of the United States is ordering General Motors, I think it is, to start producing machinery for saving people's lives. And people are doing things, transferring from one kind of production to another to produce inhalators and masks and so on. But during World War II, what we did was very clear. We changed all of the automobile plants and the refrigerator plants and washing machine plants into armaments plants. And that tipped the balance. Well, now we have to do just the opposite. First of all, and this is one of the subjects that I was going to raise later, we have to convert to a peaceful approach to each other. We have to get rid of this armaments race, because we are, I think, under the clock that they keep on this subject. 1 minute to midnight, is it something like that?
Yeah, the doomsday clock, which is edging ever closer to midnight, and did again recently.
Yeah, one minute to midnight. So all you need is to make a couple of mistakes, and as you're well aware, there have been mistakes that have been made, and only the grace of God has saved us from a catastrophe. But if you had somebody irrational who decided to use these things, and they have been continuing to manufacture them all the time, and I was so disappointed when President Obama allowed the U.S. forces to build a new factory for the production of new weapons as well as the improvements of older ones. I said, why would you spend money building weapons you can't use? Because you can't use them. If you do use them, you could start the kind of war which would make the planet uninhabitable.
Of course, you were Defense Minister of Canada. You would know what people say. They say, especially in this world, is becoming, you know, ever more unstable, it seems. Even when we thought we were in an era of peace, we've got North. I mean, before coronavirus diverted all our attention from everything, we've got North Korea, China, which, you know, the epicenter of coronavirus, but China becoming an increasing power and flexing its muscles, exerting its, you know, exerting itself in all sorts of ways. Russia, of course, and President Putin. We don't know what's going to happen there. We don't get to hear all of the truth, I suspect, out of Russia. You know, people would say that we have to be able to defend ourselves.
Well, this is a false approach, because you can't defend yourself against atomic weapons. There's no defense. And the only hope is to change the world. And this is comes up later in my what I would like to say about an entirely different approach to these things. But no, 3% of the U.S. budget for defense last year would have been enough to feed all of the poor people of the world to keep them alive. Just 3%. And we have our priorities all mucked up. And instead of being peacemakers, we're warmongers. And we have to stop that. We have to turn it around.
And listen, I'm no hawk here. I've got very much sympathy for everything that you've said for a whole mess of reasons. But in a situation like that, if there are countries that are flexing their muscles and becoming mega powers, how do we protect our interests? Is it all about what you said before, trying to get on better with people?
But you have to ask yourself, who started it?
Who did?
9/11. It was a false flag operation. And U.S. military expenditures have increased 100% in 1 year.
Do you know, again, do you, now look, you've got much better connections, of course you have, than I'll ever have. Do you know that?
Well, of course. It's common knowledge for anybody who digs for it. But when you have a controlled press who put out fake news and refuse to print the truth, you'll never get it. So you still have people who think that two little airplanes with neither the kinetic or thermal energy to knock down even one tower of any kind brought down five. Now, that's ridiculous. And it's never been clearly stated. It's never been properly investigated. And this, too, was a cover-up. But it was a joint effort between the Israelis and the Americans in order to make more enemies in the Middle East, so that the cabal, which has been running the United States and the world now for almost 70 years, would have more enemies to justify more expenditures on armaments, and then to set an armaments race going, because every time they do that, every time they start going up the scale of up the ladder, then the Russians say, well, we're going to have to do something. And the Chinese say, we're going to have to do something. And this is the reason, you know, that John Kennedy didn't live, that he was assassinated, was because he wanted to have a peaceful approach and get cooperation and understanding between the major powers so that they could work together for a peaceful world. But that is not what the cabal wanted. That is not what the military wanted. They went the opposite directions. And we had visitors coming back to your other question. We had visitors from other planets way back who offered to give us the technology for better medicine and better agriculture and all of these things if only we would give up our atomic weapons.
So you're saying, I'm sorry to interrupt, Paul, you're saying that the visitors, when they came, despaired of the direction that we were going in and actually gave us a choice?
Absolutely. Twice. Gave us a choice as to whether we would have a peaceful world with medicine where practically none of the people who were sick today would be sick, and those that did would have easy cures in most cases. And we turned our backs on that. And so we have all of these sick people and getting more all the time because we're going still in the wrong direction.
But the electorate of the United Kingdom, the electorate of Canada, the electorate of the United States would say, well, nobody offered me that choice. If I'd been offered that choice, I'd have gone for it.
Of course, but they didn't make the choice. The chiefs of staff made the choice. And it was the wrong choice, and we've been going downhill ever since.
Was it a formal offer?
Yeah.
How, and again, I'm sorry, it's the third time. It's, how do you know that?
Because I have a top secret document prepared by the defense DIA in the United States, which says, states the alternative and what happened, and also in that there is a discussion, an interrogation of a survivor of one of the crashes, where he complains about us, our collectively humans, not treating Aboriginals fairly, not treating blacks fairly, not treating others fairly, and not treating the planet well, not being good stewards. And this was 70 years ago. So, and we have done nothing about it since, except to make matters worse as we've gone along.
So are you saying that an occupant of a craft at Roswell lived and actually had these things to say about the way that we've been conducting ourselves? I mean, these things that history has proved to be correct.
This was another crash, I think, that happened more or less simultaneously with Roswell within the same time period. And, you know, I have spent time this last week setting up a new sort of partnership with a former Canadian naval officer on more ways that they're trying to kill us. First of all, there's geoengineering. And I don't know if you've ever read the stuff that's been put out by Dane, what's his name? I forget, but geoengineering.org, where he says that what they're doing in geoengineering is the second most dangerous thing in the world next to atomic weapons. And we have to ban it for the whole world. But the bottom line, we're nearly out of time. I want to talk about the bottom line. The bottom line is that we are faced with a spiritual battle. And it's a battle between good and evil, between light and dark, and that the controllers of the cabal are in the pocket of Lucifer, the evil son of the Creator.
Now that is going to sound to some people listening to this like religious mania.
It is religious education. And if you want the good news, because we have to end on some good news, the good news is that the Galactic Federation has decided to abandon their non-involvement policies and have indicated a willingness to help us find vaccines for the virus, if we will ask them to. And I think there's going to be a meeting sometime within the next few weeks to decide if we can work together to bring about the miracles that have to be brought together. And incidentally, the coronavirus was designed and built in the United States of America. The means by which it got to China is very interesting, and you can find that out someday. And the means by which it was distributed is more or less still up in the air.
Distributed.
Distributed, yeah. But it was designed in the U.S., and there are other viruses that I understand are as bad or worse. But finally, I mean, in my last book, at the end, I say how the Creator God created the universe and the cosmos. And if we get down to the facts, and I recommend that people take a look at it, we are all brothers and sisters under the skin. And if you want to, they used to say the red and yellow, black and white, all are precious in his sight. We are all siblings, every single one of us.
So do you think this crisis that we are going through now, I mean, you've said a few controversial things there that I know some of my listeners are going to take issue with, but the fact that we are a human species and we all have to work together, that is abundantly displayed by this crisis that we're going through. A lot of people are having a great big think about the way that they've been living their lives.
Absolutely. And we have to start operating as brothers and sisters and not thinking that we're better than the others and that we're the only ones that deserve to live and that we have to kill off the ones that we feel are inferior, because that is all evil thinking and it all comes from the same source. And we have to accept that we are all brothers and sisters under the skin and siblings, and we have to accept the fact and work toward the light, because there is another good news thing, and that is a move to increase our vibration level so that we will have more of the powers that our brothers and sisters from other planets have already.
And who's going to, you know, we're going to be enhanced, you're saying. Who's going to do that for us?
Well, we have to do it for ourselves, because we start with each person becoming more spiritual and doing the kinds of things that will get us oriented in the towards the light. And then they're getting some help. We'll be getting some help from other brothers and sisters from other planets, I have no doubt.
You said the Galactic Federation, if there is a Galactic Federation, wants to have a big meeting with us very soon about coronavirus and helping us out of this. If they have our best interests at heart and there is a Galactic Federation, why have they not stepped in now?
Because they have had a policy of letting us make our own messes and then clean them up. Non-interference. We have created this absolutely terrible mess that we're in this world, and I have called it a crisis, because all of these things have gone wrong at the same time. But why did they go wrong? Not naturally, but because somebody engineered them to go wrong, because they wanted to take over the world, establish a new fascist government with total powers, unelected, to tell all the people of the world what to do and have a government that was for, by, and of the 0.1% who think that they should run the world.
And if that is such a potent plot, and I'm calling it a plot, if that is such a potent scheme, how are we as ordinary Joes, with no power, really, apart from that power we exercise every 5 years at the ballot box, you know, how are we going to do something about that?
The power is not at the ballot box, because the Americans have been electing presidents and congresses for all of the last 70 years, and they have never run the country. They've all been run by the cabal and the Nazis that infiltrated the United States government in Operation Paperclip, and so on.
So you're saying all of this goes back to the period just after World War II?
Exactly.
And how, again, I'm asking you fourth time, how do you know that? Have you been told that by people who know?
Yes. Absolutely. And I tried to make sure today I didn't say anything that was conjecture, anything that I wasn't positive of, and anything that I wouldn't put in a book, because I knew it was true.
You once said that I think there were four species of aliens who've had interactions with us. I may be wrong in quoting you that way. I may be misquoting you. The climate change evidence is out there in science and all the other things that are happening. Can I just ask, if I may just ask this, though, will they, you know, if we're going to go down the tubes, are they going to let us do it?
I don't know the answer to that. I hope not. But four is I've never used that figure.
Okay.
I don't know where you got that.
Well, that was a newspaper quotation.
Well, the four, I think, were the four that the General Lemnitzer's inquiry came up with, who had been visiting the planet for thousands of years. That's where that figure came from. But the United States has a booklet for the people who go to deal with crashes that I think has 54 different species of crash, you know, to be prepared for 54 different, and that is just the beginning. Because there are far, far more, and we know that, and it's increasing every day as the ability to travel intergalactically increases from one planet to another.
You talked about the cabal, Paul. Why do you think the aliens who are watching us allow that misuse of power to go on?
For the reason I just said, that we were as Earthlings, we were given the power of choice, good or evil. And we have, in most cases, in the last few decades, opted for evil. And so we created a world that is a mess instead of we didn't go for the deal of getting rid of our arms and going for good medicine and good agriculture and a decent division of wealth between rich and poor. We went in the opposite direction. And that's where we wound up in such a horrible mess. And now we've got to clean it up.
53 years ago, your biography says that you flew, and in fact we've talked about this before, you flew by helicopter to inaugurate an unidentified flying object landing pad in St. Paul, Alberta. If you had your life again with the direction that it's taken, would you do all the things that you've done down these years, controversial some of them have been, including that?
Well, that's more information, because if you look in Google, you'll find that it was during our 1967 celebration, and I just went out to celebrate with the people of St. Paul's, and they built this landing pad, and they were ahead of their times, and what they had to say about it was ahead of me at the time. And I'm glad that there are people that were thinking that way. And if I had my life to live over again, of course, I'd start asking more questions sooner, so that I wouldn't have to cram into so much in the last 15 years of my life. Mm.
Do you think that there will eventually be the Washington hearings on ETs, our contact with them and all that some people in the U.S. government, around the U.S. government, are pushing for? Do you think that will ever happen?
I don't want to speculate. My crystal ball isn't working today. But the sooner we get lined up with our siblings from other planets and start using their, not only their technology, but their willingness to be faithful servants of the Creator, who created them and us and the world and all of the things, then things will change and we'll have a better situation. But that's utopian, and I'm not a utopianist, because I know that as long as the people are people, we're going to make mistakes, and all we can do is try and correct them one at a time and change ourselves first. And if we change, enough of us change ourselves, we'll get the higher vibration that we'd like to have for all of the people on our planet.
What would you say to those people who will email me? I've spent my life being open-minded about everything, and that's how I think I've learned. But there are some people, who perhaps don't have quite such open minds, who would accuse you of talking bunkum. Would there be one thing that you would say to them that might change their way of thinking?
Absolutely. Read books.
Okay.
You won't get it anywhere else. You won't get it on programs like this. You won't get it from any of the papers that are owned by the Bilderbergers. They're all slanted, and they're all tell lies, and they're all part of the cabal, and they're all part of the problem.
When you were in government, Paul, were you invited to be part of the cabal yourself?
Oh, well, as a matter of fact, I almost was. I was told that Prince Barnhart would be calling me. Thank God he never did. So I escaped.
Right.
And I'm glad for it, because now I can tell the truth about it, and I haven't been compromised. So the truth as I see it. So,
and may I ask you an indelicate question?
No, as I've got to go on, I'm already.
All right, I know you don't like to do podcasts and recordings of more than half an hour, but are you 97 now, Paul?
No, I'm 96.
Wow, when are you 97?
In August.
Well, we probably won't speak before then, because I think we speak about every year or two. I wish you a very happy birthday, and it's always good to speak with you. You're remarkable. What is your formula? I don't think I'm going to see 96. What is your formula for getting there?
Well, we'll have to have a whole broadcast to talk about that.
All right, Paul. Well, listen, I know you want to go, but it's always a delight to speak with you. It is controversial, but then you know that. And I wish you...
That's because I tell the truth, and a lot of the stuff that is on the airwaves and the emails and so on has to be very carefully looked at to get through some of the garbage that's coming out.
So your message is to people, do your own thinking.
Do your own thinking after reading good books written by good authors who know the subjects that they're writing about. Gotta go.
All right, Paul, listen, please take care and thank you for speaking with me. You know, and I wish you well on your journey.
Thank you.
Thank you. Take care. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
And the views you heard are those of Paul Hellyer. Definitely food for thought, and many of us have more time now to consider them. More great guests in the pipeline here at The Unexplained. Please keep in touch with me. You know how to do that. Go to the website, send me an email if there's anything that you want to know, and if your email requires a response, of course, it's going to get one. TheUnexplained.tv, that is the website. So, until next we meet, my name is Howard Hughes. This has been The Unexplained Online at the beginning of April. And please, whatever you do, stay calm, stay safe, stay home, stay healthy, and above all, please stay in touch. Thank you very much. Take care. Bye-bye.